Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and is a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning, and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook, and Twitter at US of Ed. Speaker Paul Ryan, a shock resignation as of yesterday. He joins nearly 30 House Republicans who have announced this year they are retiring from public service, if you can call it that. Ed, were you surprised at this one?
No, I wasn't. It's been tipped for some time. Paul Ryan basically is pulling the stopper out of the bathtub. I think there'll be more than 40, perhaps 60 Republicans who don't seek re-election. Many of them in close districts, so that seat will be lost. No one wants to be on the losing side this time because the Democrats will be vicious. The last time the Democrats were nice and kind and, you know, we'll give you a fair go, this time I think Pelosi will have her longest knives out, and she'll stay along until she stabs a few people.
Mm.
So Ryan was going to have a tough time winning his own seat. Very good guy running in that seat, who's a Democrat, who sounds Trumpy, pro-gun, so forth, veteran, steel worker. And basically, Clay's Mr. Ryan hasn't been here in a long time. A good claim, because he hasn't. Ryan is saying he's getting out for family reasons. Yes, when you have $50 million war chest that you can take with you when you leave, sure, that's a family reason, isn't it? So he has been a very weak leader, very poor leader. He can't really control his party. And he thought he could control Trump. And when he couldn't, he said, enough is enough.
Mm.
He wants to get out before the bus starts rolling.
Taking a look at Russia, after over a year of refusing in really any way to criticize Putin, to criticize Russia's actions, Trump has suddenly gone hard on Russia. One tweet saying, Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice and new and smart. The Russian ambassador to the UN has hinted that Russia will take any missile fired at Syria as a declaration of war. Trump has backed away from that rhetoric. But, Ed, could the Cold War turn hot?
No. I think the Russians now have the upper hand in this. And the U.S. is paralyzed by his opening his mouth. Had he allowed the ships sitting in the Mediterranean to open up, they could have leveled a bunch of stuff, including some Russians, and the Russians would become begging. But now he's in a very difficult position. Fortunately, the British and French say they will back the United States. I suspect there will be a raid someplace in the north, very far from Damascus, where they can hit some ISIS people, but they'll avoid hitting any Russians. I don't think the damage will be very great. The damage has already been done. It looks to me like this, that the Russians have something on Trump. Trump knows the game is almost up, and they'll probably release it. So he has less and less reason to do anything for the Russians.
Mm.
And the Russians have less and less reason to do anything for him. So I think something will happen, and I think the Russians' real way of retaliating is to dump the dirt that they have on Trump now. There's a good chance that Rosenstein will be replaced shortly thereafter the investigation would wind to an end. But it looks like this is the game plan. The game plan is to have that investigation within the next, I'd say, month, put everything in, including presidential obstruction of justice. I think they have enough now to go to court and pin the president down forever.
Mm. In fact, we will get back to that one in a minute, because it is very sobering reading some of the stuff that Trump has been saying about the Russia investigation, including blaming the Russia investigation for their poor relationship with Russia right now. So we will circle back to that one. Did want to talk to you about trade this week. Now, Trump and China were kind of going tit for tat on tariffs. Trump initially imposing the 25% tariff on $50 billion worth of steel and aluminium imports. Now, China was looking to fight back with their tariffs. Trump then threatened to extend the tariffs on another $100 billion worth of goods. China, the latest move seems like a bit of a back down and quite a victory for Trump, if you look at it. But China is pretty well known to play the long game. What's the latest?
Well, it looks like the Chinese have figured this is a no-win game, particularly for them, because they're a manufacturing nation. It's easier for their goods to be embargoed than American goods. America trades intellectual property primarily, software, banking, finance. It doesn't trade a lot of hard goods. The Chinese need some of those soft goods in order to do business around the world. But also the Americans trade food. The Chinese really need American food. Our listeners may not know this, but over a third of China is no longer farmable because the land has been basically destroyed by bad farm practices. So China does not have enough farm materials to feed its population. So for them to back down, this soon is a little surprising, but they would have had to back down. The United States needs to trade those farm commodities. It's built the whole national economy around the trading of foodstuffs to China. So this was going to be a lose-lose for both sides. The Chinese saw that, so they took bolder action, reducing many other areas, tariff areas. This also helps them with Europe. So the Chinese want to look statesmanlike and let the Americans look crazy. It sounds like Trump actually cut the Gordian knot this time. What he did was right. It's okay. And he's now talking about joining the TTP, which makes a lot of sense for the American farmer.
Mm. Yeah, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the trade that Trump infamously pulled out of after he was elected, he's claiming now to be reconsidering, but the conditions for the U.S. would have to be substantially improved. What do we expect to come out of this?
I think we'll get exactly what went in. The deal that was supposed to protect Canada and the United States will be the same deal. Although they'll herald it as new and improved and all that kind of stuff, it'll be the same old deal. It's not a great deal for Australia because American agriculture will be protected. That means American foodstuffs will be coming flooding into Australia and flooding across the Pacific. That is not a good deal. Except for China, it would be a good deal, and some of our other trading partners and the Pacific trade area. Most of our other trading partners in Australia also need foodstuffs. So going head-to-head with the United States on this, the area where Australia is really exposed is in technology. Australia doesn't have major technological exports, and that's where the United States has another advantage. So I think, well, sometime between now and November, there'll be a rapid shift in trade. Look at the U.S. stock market. Every time they mention any slowdown in trade, the stock market goes into a tank. So Trump's looking at the possibility of unemployment rising on the back of his tax cuts, where the rich are getting richer, and his trade deals, again, where the rich are getting richer, and the middle class and the lower classes are suffering.
Those tax cuts that you mentioned there, the tax bill, Trump claimed he hadn't actually even read before signing it. There's been a push from the president now to redo the $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill after he's already signed it. So he signed it and now wants to push in order to basically cut back on some of the funding aspects he doesn't like and has now, I guess, had time to read. What would this mean for the Republicans' ability to negotiate if they're going to break the cardinal rule of no backsies?
That won't happen. But there is an opportunity for him. The omnibus bill that was signed only goes, I think, until the end of June or July. So there's another possibility for him to take a cut at this apple. But no leadership in the House. Effectively, no leadership in the Senate. Anyone who's in the Senate is going to be looking very liberal, left-wing right now, because they know if they don't do that now, when they come up for election in a year or two, they're going to be swept out of office. On the other side, many Republicans will have already left. They're not waiting until the end of their term. They are leaving now. So whatever is in the bill is in the bill. There won't be any changes. The only change that could be made is DACA. And that's an improvement for everybody. Trump, to save his own skin, might do something on DACA.
Because Trump has claimed that DACA is dead, and now he flip-flops between this position quite a bit.
Well, he was supposed to bomb Syria by now, hasn't he? So let's not listen to what Trump says. Let's track what he does and what the pressures are. The pressures are for him to do a deal on DACA, because the middle of the Republican Party and some hardliners want a DACA deal done, mainly so they can say, we're not against every immigrant. The other problem we have with DACA is the DACA people have been very good American citizens. They've gone to university and the like. They're holding good jobs and so on. And getting anything through Congress that threw them out is impossible. So what do? You regularize them in some way. So that's the only piece that would be changed. You're not going to change military spending. You're not going to change welfare spending. What he wants to do is cut out a lot of welfare spending. There's a program for young mothers to make sure their children are properly fed, very similar to the program we have here in Australia, and that they get prenatal and postnatal care. Not doing that would be a big hit on America in the future. There are other programs to keep people off drugs that were funded. Not doing that would be a big hit. What he's trying to do is to lower that deficit number, because at some point it spins out of control. And the United States would look like Germany in the 1920s.
Circling back, as I mentioned, to the Russia investigation, Trump, as I said, fully on the attack against the investigation, even blaming it for the poor relationship we now see with Russia and the United States. Meanwhile, the investigation has raided Trump lawyer Michael Cohen this week. It's looking very delicate. What's the latest?
Well, let's get this straight. The Southern District of New York raided Mr. Cohen. The Southern District federal prosecutors raid him because evidence was provided Mueller about the possibility of a breach of the law by Mr. Cohen. Technically, Mueller had no choice. It's like if somebody reports a crime to you, you have to report it to the authorities. He did. He could have said, hold on to this until later. He didn't. Why not? Look at the way Mueller's doing this. I'm going to kill the family. Junior is basically gone. He's lied to the FBI. He divorced his wife so he could save the money from a possible attack by federal officials. Kushner is basically gone. Now I'll attack the properties and money and other assets. He's been doing that very effectively. Trump hotels are closing around the world because they cannot be refinanced. With this investigation going on, no one will refinance his empire. It's imploding on him. And lastly, I'm going to go after his personal life. But I won't do that directly. I'll let others do that. Now, this is what's happened. Cohen claimed they took out a second or a third mortgage to pay this bill. What a dumb thing to do. First of all, when you take out a second or third mortgage, the bank asks you, what's the purpose? I don't think you put to pay off a porn star. So he probably says for home repairs or for business expansion. The feds will ask, show me the business expansion invoices. Show me the repairs you did in your home. because in the United States, and possibly here, I've not gone through it, when you take out a bank loan, you have to declare the purpose for that under fraud penalties. So if he can't find a banister or something that he did with that $130,000, he's in deep, deep trouble. Furthermore, he said several things about it. So he's been caught in two or three lies. They're also after the Hollywood Access tapes. It's speculated. The reason they're after that is that he tried to pay to keep those off the air. And there is some telephone conversation, some emails about that. That amounts to wire fraud. The purpose was to commit a crime against the U.S. electoral system. Cohen could face 30 years in jail. I think I could sing soprano if I were facing 30 years. And I am a deep baritone. I think that Mr. Cohen will sing like the best birds in the house. It'll take a while. But Flynn is now bankrupt. Manafort is now bankrupt. Cohen will be bankrupt. The only thing they can save is jail time. So that's what he's doing. It may be this investigation ends up like this. The president in ruins. Not impeachment, but actual financial ruin. And how long can he take that? And with the Democrats in control, maybe even of both houses, what kind of job is this? Mueller may have destroyed the man by leaving him in office.
Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.